Okay, thank you for being present once again in this conference room. We shall start now the second session, and to start with, Francis Hayes is our first speaker. He works for the Water Environment Fund in Scotland, so he works for the WEF Water Environmental Fund in Scotland, so as to renew the ecological continuum of the rivers. It has been involved in diverse projects, so as to renature and to provide ecological continuity in rivers and to remove all dams and bypasses, and also involved in corridors and habitats in urban environment.
Bonjour, mes amis. Je m'appelle Francis. Au revoir, France, François.
Okay, my name is Francis.
Okay. I can ask for a coffee, a beer, that kind of thing. So when I knew I was coming to France, I bought this, Factor 30. Hope I get to use it. We'll see. It's a long way to come from Scotland to get wet. thank you. Thank you to Dam Removal Europe for inviting me and their partners. I'm going to tell you a bit about the fund, who we are. Some of you might have heard this before at an earlier DRE, but hopefully not too boring. Scotland quite rightly has a reputation or an image of wild areas, mountainous rivers, gravel bed rivers, and rightly so. We do have a lot of that. Most of our rivers are in pretty good condition, certainly in terms of the Water Framework Directive, but we do have some problems, and they are scattered around the country. In terms of barriers specifically, and also obviously damaged hydromorphology in our rivers. It's not of the scale of some of the things we've heard about and will hear about. The country is smaller and the issues are perhaps more compact and smaller as well, but I'm massively impressed already with the things we've heard in terms of the scale of activity happening on dam removal in Europe and the world. We all love the celebration. Things don't happen, they take a long time to happen. We all love to get to the end, to see something happen, to have restoration happen. I'm sure you all share that, and I look forward to hearing about that from everyone else's talks. But there's one thing I've learned since I joined the team in 2013, it's a long road to get to that point. It takes a while, it takes lots of different skills and different organizations to input. And I work for the Scottish Environment Protection Agency, the Water Environment Fund is within that. But we do rely on partnership. We rely on working with others, particularly river and fishery trusts and local authorities. So the Water Environment Fund, hopefully not going to confuse you, but it's Scottish government money. It's not European money. It's not UK government money. It's Nicola Sturgeon's money in the Scottish government. She gives it to SEPA, and SEPA administer it as the Water Environment Fund. And given that it's public money, there are very strict rules on what we can use it for. It's taxpayers' money. So we use it for fish passage at redundant weirs. So those weirs and dams that are no longer operational, have been orphaned, rejected, they're not commercial. We can use the fund to try and get fish past those. And then we also spend the money on urban river restoration. Mainly because of that last point, that we're trying to maximize community benefits. The Scottish Government want to see us allow the people of Scotland to see the river benefits. So we are concentrating on urban areas at the moment in terms of river restoration to get those health, economic, flood risk benefits that we might achieve through that kind of project. I hope I'm not talking too fast. The Water Environment Fund does this in two ways. We either issue a grant, so we issue a parcel of money to an organization, particularly local authorities that are trying to solve environmental problems, and they run the project, and that's for the little symbol, the dams, and the river channel restoration, so the hydromorphology projects as well. But now we are starting to commission work ourselves. We don't have engineers, we don't have diggers and machinery in the Scottish Environment Protection Agency or in WEF, so we procure that from other people. We go to the market, and we can procure or purchase that work through other people, particularly for fish passage projects at dams. And, you know, we are at the beginning of that learning curve. These are not easy things, and they're certainly a new thing for us to try and tackle. So this is always awkward when I talk about the problems in Scotland, because it's not of the scale that we have in other countries, which is a great thing, I guess. On the bottom line, you can see that we have around about 4,000 dams and weirs in Scotland of all various sizes. But in terms of the problems, there are three different sets of barriers to fish in Scotland. There are active dams, so dams that are being used for hydro, distilling. Distillery is obviously very important in Scotland. And drinking water, maybe not that important. And also assets. And these, I was just trying to explain to our friends in the translation box, who are doing a great job, that these are bridges, transport structures that have a use, but they're not perhaps commercial, or they're not moving structures. Nobody's pulling a lever or moving sluices. They're just a thing in the environment that people need to use. What WEF can tackle are the historics. So they are the redundant structures, structures that I won't say nobody really wants. Some people want them, but they're not serving a formal purpose. So roughly about 300 problems in Scotland, and about 120 of them are the sorts of things that Water Environment Fund or WEF can be involved in. We haven't done very many. We've tackled about 14, 15 at the moment. We're at the beginning of that curve. And that's why I'm calling this a snapshot as well, because our intelligence and our information keep changing. We keep finding things. Even in a country like Scotland, we keep finding old weirs that nobody told us about or we weren't aware of. Just an issue of resource before we get into some photographs. The Water Environment Fund started in a very experimental way around 2012, 2013. £500,000, or roughly €500,000 broadly, with two or three members of staff. And you can see the way it's going in the right direction. We're going up in terms of resource, with about 8 or 9 staff now, and €4 to €5 million every year from the Scottish Government. I did have a slide on what we think the projections are. I didn't think I should probably use that to go on the internet right now, but you can see the direction it's going in. Even with our relatively small-scale projects, which I have to say are very complex, unfortunately, because they tend to be in built-up areas, we still think we're probably going to need more resource to achieve that. And all of this is for our Water Framework Directive targets, obviously, as has been mentioned by other people in the presentations. So some photographs. That's the boring bit. Now we get onto the photographs. Just to note that we use that money for the two aspects, the fish barriers and the river restoration. So we are about trying to transform things like this. This is in Shotts, which is a very urban, quite deprived town, or areas of high deprivation. The bottom left is before, thankfully, and there was contamination. A dreadful culvert, so a concrete channel, dead to life, no fish. And we've transformed that into a gravel natural habitat. And while that's in an urban area, it does look pretty rural, which is good. So while not a fish barrier project, it's helping produce habitat for life in the river. And I wanted to be honest, I could show pictures of dam removal, the few that we have achieved so far, but we struggle, and we were chatting about it there, and I'm sure people are going to mention it again. We struggle to remove dams for various technical and financial reasons, but also emotional and social reasons that's become important during the talks. So top left is a great success. We removed a dam. Salmon were spawning in that river within about 6 months of that dam being removed. It's for the first time in perhaps 150 years, with the kilometres of habitat that have been opened up. So we were delighted with that. That was a party one. But as I say, I want to be honest that most, 80, 70% of what we're involved with at the moment are fish passes. And where they're in urban areas and where there are schools and infrastructure, this sort of thing happens. These quite ugly things with ironwork to protect people from getting in. We don't want children to get in, and if they get in, they might struggle to get out, so we want to prevent that. And then there's access for maintenance. If a tree gets stuck in it, someone's got to go out and pick it out. There are health and safety regulations about what they can risk and what they can't risk. So it's fish migration, but not ideal. Our first best option would always be removal, but sometimes we can't do it. And then we have historic legacies, the cultural protected areas. The bottom left is a fish pass in an historic garden. So we had an artist make that look a little bit more attractive with designs you might be able to just see. But it is a technical fish pass. It was built to modern standards, a Lerinier fish pass, I think that one. And then this is a weir on the bottom right in an historic village. The whole village is an historic site, and we couldn't remove it. So we are cutting a hole in it. We're notching that one, as we call it. That's happening right now. So we'll cut a hole and we'll help create a deeper launch pool for salmon, sea trout in the river that they can get past that dam. So very much, unfortunately, we're having to compromise. What's that? There we go. Now, I was going to show a case that we're currently acting on, but it's so sensitive, I don't want to show pictures of it right now. But it's in Scotland, we're trying to take out a very, or for us, quite a large dam, a big horseshoe dam. It's not served any purpose, formal purpose, for many, many years. And it's in an urban area. It's in a very beautiful place in terms of an urban area. And the people there are very active, lots of groups involved in the river. They quite like their dam. They don't want to see it come out. And it's falling to pieces. It's not as old as people claim it is. It's been rebuilt and rebuilt. Just as I think Roberto was saying, these dams had a lifespan, an estimated lifespan that has gone a long time ago. And people have put in a bit of concrete or some rocks or some bricks and kept these things going, and they keep falling over. And for fish removal, for safety, for Scotland's use of money, really, for cost efficiency, the best thing to do is to remove it. But of course, we get a lot of that, a lot of anger, upset. We don't hide from people. Sometimes we want to, but we don't hide from people. We meet them. We have open events. We engage with the community councils, the local community councils and community groups. And we traditionally and foolishly try to use facts and science to convince people. And you know already it doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. But we struggle as a government agency to connect with people. We get flood impact assessments done by professional hydrologists, flood risk hydrologists. We show the results of those reports that in this instance show that floods would benefit if we remove the dam. People don't believe you. You will flood my house if you take that dam out. We have dam condition surveys done by professional engineers. Again, we pay for somebody to come in and do that. And despite the photographs, the obvious evidence, people don't want to believe that their dam is a problem. And we really struggle with that. So we work in partnership with others, local authorities, and River Trusts, River Trusts are charities in the UK and in Scotland. So they are closer to the local area, build up rapport, hopefully, with local people, and can try and lead on some of that community engagement. But it still doesn't work brilliantly, I have to say. We do face a lot of opposition. And what I've noticed, not to be rude, is it's not the young people that are being very vocal. And I'm no longer young myself, but it's a shame they're not coming out and supporting these projects. I would hope they would support these projects. Maybe they wouldn't. But it tends to be older members of the community that, just as we were saying, they have those stories and attachments. And we don't want to be brutal. We want to engage with people and try and build some of that heritage into the design. So we will retain part of the dam that I was talking about. We'll retain and survey the archaeology, have interpretive material on the riverbank to explain the history of the site and the history of the industry that it once supported. But we are struggling, and it's now in a political phase, I guess, that people will vote on whether or not that dam will come out in the next few months, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully I'll have a good story for a future dam removal project. So compromise. Oh, there it is again. So again, I did want to be honest that we sometimes have to compromise. This is a structure, a dam underneath a bridge. The bridge is about 200 years old and is younger than the dam. The dam isn't maintained. It's not serving any purpose except that if it falls over, the bridge falls over, or if you take it away, the bridge falls over, and the urban area upstream will be at risk. So, hopefully not to gasps from Dam Removal Europe, we built that in partnership with all of these partners at the bottom there, the Forth Rivers Trust, the council. Two councils are involved, but this is in West Lothian. It's called Howden Bridge Weir. There are videos on the internet, time-lapse videos on the internet that I can share if people are interested. And we're making a little film about it as well. So if we couldn't remove the dam, we didn't want to just put a technical fish pass into what is a very decrepit, old dam that's got problems in itself. So we built a rock ramp fishway. So it at least mimics nature. It's not brilliant. It's a great project, but it's not the most natural option, obviously. But at least it reflects some of the natural processes. If a tree comes down or a shopping trolley, we get those as well. They can be easily removed or flushed from the system. The fish have a much more natural time in terms of getting up and downstream. There are two notches in the weir that hopefully will allow some more sediment transport. So some continuity, but a compromise, definitely. It was a lot of work. Can't hide from that. A lot of stuff happened. We effectively raised the riverbed and created this cascade, this rocky cascade. Thousands of tons of rock. Nobody's throwing anything yet, so that's okay. So... But while it doesn't, when it was finished, it looks pretty stark, pretty bare. Now that it's beginning to bed down, it's beginning to evolve, if you like, it doesn't look too bad. Certainly, somebody said on LinkedIn to me just the last couple of days that it looks about right if you were a fish. Okay, it's not natural, but it looks about right. I'll take that. I'll take anything. So obviously, we'll be monitoring this to see how well they do. But this dam and project... that particular one cost about £750,000. So €800,000, something like that, I think, at the moment. We'll see. We'll see what the exchange rate is in a couple of months. but the whole project has the chance to get fish into around about 300 kilometres of river network. And there are seven dams like that that we want to tackle as part of that project. So... We think it's very much worthwhile working on this catchment. So almost at 17 minutes, I just wanted to say merci. Thank you. I really look forward to hearing from you, networking at coffee and lunch, your experiences, particularly on the convincing people or buying people into your projects, because we really want to learn. It is difficult. It's difficult for all of us, but I want to share the pain and the joy, if we can, of... of fish passage improvement. That's me. Thank you.